Hi there, everyone. I'm going to make this short and simple this week. If you enjoy what you hear here on the ProWrestling.net free daily podcast, check out the ProWrestling.net membership side of things. $7.50 a month. You get a ton of audio content, a ton of exclusive content, and it's all ad-free. We would love it if you guys would support us in that way. If you're looking for another way to support us, review our show on iTunes. Leave us some stars. Tell us what you think. Wrestling fans love star rating things from what I hear, and we'd really appreciate hearing from you. Enjoy the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Shane McMahon and the joy of babyface authority figures. So, Jake, it's a beautiful Thursday morning / afternoon, and I'm sitting here. I'm still riding high from Monday Night Raw. You know why? My man, Shane O'Mac, still in charge of the show completely illogically, yet somehow managed to bring logic to the show. Wrestling never ceases to amaze and confuse me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we first discussed how we were going to approach this topic. And, you know, it's like, well, heel authority figures are gone. All of a sudden, the show makes a lot more sense. And it's like, I mean, is it because, you know, they're just doing what seems like common sense? I mean, is it just that the heel authority figures were that bad that, I mean, it's like, what do you replace a cancer with? It's like, do you really need to replace it? Just let people, you know, organically sort of fall into feuds. And I think they're just letting Shane McMahon do that. He's not really going out there and taking control of the show and making a bunch of matches. It's more or less, you know, he's just letting things happen and then finding, you know, ways to make entertaining solutions sort of crop out of that organically. So I think it makes for a much better show just by virtue of it not feeling nearly as contrived as it did when you had the heel authority figures.
Yeah, I feel like heel authority figures went from being a really interesting novel idea in 1997 and 1998 to honestly, by the end of 1998, becoming a trope, becoming something wrestling seemed overly reliant on. And we saw it in WCW, we saw it in the WWF at the time. And A little bit later, we even saw ECW try and do it with the network guy to take out their rage at TNN. What happened in that time period is the base storytelling model of wrestling changed from good guy wrestler, bad guy wrestler. They're going to fight eventually. They're both very good. Let's see what happens. The model of storytelling changed from that to being, well, you've got a good guy wrestler, and then you have the authority figure that doesn't want him to succeed for reason X, Y, or Z. And no one really broke out of that model. WWE told that story for years. They've spent 19 years telling that story with very few breaks from it. Monday Night seemed like a break, and Monday Night kind of seems like it could be the beginning of a very long break from it. If we end up with a good guy, general manager, or authority figure, and if you want to see how this looks a few years in, look at the NXT show, where William Regal shows up for big announcements. He shows up to keep things fair. He shows up to, he's petitioned and says yes or no to things, but there's always a sense that he's trying to keep the playing field level for everyone involved so the best wrestlers can succeed and the worst wrestlers are dismissed, in a sense. I think it's wonderful. I think it brings logic back to pro wrestling in a really necessary place because I think the evil owner or evil authority figure trope has gone way too far in making wrestling basically a cartoon.
Yeah, and I'm not even convinced that you necessarily need a Shane McMahon or an on-screen figure like William Regal. I mean, there were times, you know, growing up watching wrestling where, you know, it was just these nameless, faceless championship committees that would make decisions that would come from announcers or broadcasters. And it would, you know, it seemed like it carried the same weight as anything else. So if you really wanted to just keep the focus on the wrestlers and that, you know, crop of talent rather than having to have somebody who is a big name and is a big personality mediate everything, I think you could probably work it that way if you wanted to. I think WWE would rather have, you know, a personality in that role, but it's not absolutely necessary to do that. Just keeping the McMahons in their storyline from dominating the show, I think, is a positive development, no matter how you accomplish it, because it really felt like WrestleMania was a McMahon show that sort of existed in its own universe. So I think having Raw make a hard break away from that is positive.
It's definitely positive. What do you think of the decision Shane is making? He made Kevin Owens fight for the number one contendership for the Intercontinental title. He started a tag team tournament. He is supposedly behind a bunch of the call-ups that we're seeing from NXT. I look at it and I think, wow. And he, when Sami Zayn was attacked, instead of ignoring it and moving on, there's the idea that, no, this is a fair universe. Sami still gets his shot, and here's the fairest way to give Sami a shot without taking away what AJ earned.
Yeah, I liked it. I like the fact that, you know, his conflict with Kevin Owens led to Kevin getting ejected from the building, and that actually stuck. We didn't see some, you know, ridiculous, Kevin Owens beats up 37 police officers to get to Sami Zayn or anything like that during the segment. So I liked, the approach they took. It made sense. It didn't require any mental gymnastics or suspension of disbelief on your part. You know, it seemed like Shane was just there to play the role of a manager and a competent one, and he didn't really get in the way. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, was that the authority figures didn't end up getting in the way of stories being told well, and that's an important change of pace. And not only that, I think there's another huge effect of this that I saw was just in fan response online, and whether it's on Twitter or, you know, on the Reddit posts, or, you know, any of the places that you see people commonly talking about wrestling, there was definitely a shift in tone to a more positive one following Monday's Raw. And I think that's kind of crazy when you think about it, because, you know, the general opinion about, you know, the internet wrestling community in general is that they're impossible to please and that they're never positive. And I think you're seeing that, well, if the show actually makes sense and gives them reason to be excited, they will join the bandwagon. So it's not impossible to make WWE fans happy. You just actually have to somewhat, you know, make an effort.
And isn't it such a simple thing? You mentioned when I text you about this being a topic, you said it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like praising water in the desert or something like it, or, you know, overrating it. And it's like, yeah, it kind of is. Water's fantastic when you're in the desert, though, and it's really important. It's funny that it takes this to make things work, but what else do you do? In WWE, I think one of the bigger flaws that they had, it was, or still is in a way, if Shane McMahon is as temporary as he might be, and they don't replace him with another babyface figure or something like it, the major flaw is the system is always rigged against the good guy, and you're supposed to cheer the good guy versus the system, and that's the story they tell, when you could just as easily have the bad guy exist and cheer the good guy against the bad guy, and that way you're not getting the system over. You're not working so hard to make sure the system is important, but you're actually working hard to make sure the wrestlers are important. You don't get heels that kind of take a back seat to whatever that system is, the way Randy Orton did, the way Seth Rollins did at times, even though his performances were fantastic. You get them playing the system and playing with the rules, but you don't get the overall rigged feeling that wrestling has and should avoid. Like you said, this is not where we should be spending our suspension of disbelief points. We should be using those when people bounce off the ropes.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's been well over a decade, as you've pointed out previously, that we've been sort of in this mess where, and it's been a concerted effort on the part of all the authority figures to point out relentlessly that nobody is bigger than the company, and that, you know, and it also feeds into this idea that nobody is more important than the McMahons on the show. And I think the idea that Shane could come back and they start the storyline where, he's going to be this sort of combative force and sort of force Vince and Stephanie and Triple H off the show, it did sort of pique people's optimism and the fact that they want that change. And even though it looked like at WrestleMania we weren't going to get it, it sort of happened by accident anyway. And it has been a huge positive development in how people have reacted to the show. So I don't think that can go completely unnoticed by, people in charge at WWE, that fans are reacting to this. And I hope they, whether it's with Shane or with some other solution, find a way to continue the momentum. I don't know what his long-term plans are, but he has been a nice addition to the show, and it's been nice to get a break from having to see Triple H and Stephanie, talk down to people on a weekly basis.
And one of the things going into WrestleMania was Triple H and Stephanie kind of hit their peak of annoying, we're better than you heel promos. They were laying it on so heavy, and the things Stephanie did before Triple H's entrance while dressed up as China was so very awkward and strange. But it was another one of those I'm a big bad person promos that when you watch it, you kind of go, okay, you're getting really close to the logical conclusion of your story. You have to be. And we've thought that often about the Authority. We kind of thought that when Daniel Bryan finally defeated the Authority, it would go away, but it didn't. And then the Authority actually lost a match that meant it went away at Survivor Series 2014, but they were back really soon after that. And with all of it, you go, I would love to see them have to. It's also a way aligning a heel with a heel wrestler with a heel authority figure became a lazy way to get a heel over, and WWE needs to do work in making their bad guys seem like bad guys and making their good guys seem like good guys. You can't just say, well, Roman Reigns is a good guy, look, the boss hates him. And you can't just say, oh, well, Sheamus has to be bad, the boss likes him. That's not doing the work. That's using a trope that, hey, sometimes you need that trope. And if something isn't working, you need to put it in there. But trying to avoid it is probably the better way to tell stories, because you're actually going to focus on characters.
Well, I mean, I think everything sort of flows back to the source, doesn't it, in that regard? I mean, the show was so focused on getting the McMahons over that it became, the easiest way to, get other characters over was to associate them either positively or negatively with one of the McMahons. And that's a huge issue. I mean, the show isn't about the McMahons as much as they'd like us to believe so. I mean, the action in the ring never focuses on the McMahons. It's just the soap opera elements that were almost completely dedicated to them. I mean, there wasn't a Raw that went by without either an authority promo or one of the heels associated with them when they weren't on TV, talking about them incessantly. I mean, it became really obnoxious at times. And I think it sort of all fed into this very egocentric version of WWE that we've been seeing, where all storylines sort of outflow from the whims of the authority, and all characters sort of, they're standing in the companies seem to depend on how they interrelated with the authority figures. And I think getting, basing a show on that and basing your entire, storyline continuity on that is a recipe for a lot of people, losing interest. And I think that's been the case for, a decade now. I mean, since the last peak when John Cena finally exploded onto the scene and WWE actually saw an uptick in viewership, it's been a steady decline ever since. And a lot of that, over the years can be traced to this sort of slow, cannibalization of all of the storylines towards being focused on that main event scene and the McMahons who were currently plugged into it.
Absolutely. And the show focusing primarily on the McMahons, not that they're bad, not that everything they do is awful, but it has diminishing returns. I think we've seen it in ratings and we've seen it in storytelling in general. There are diminishing returns when the show is primarily focused on McMahon. So even though we're praising Shane McMahon here, we're really praising the concept, the idea that an authority figure isn't rigging the system for the bad guys. The authority figure is just there. The authority figure is there to make and announce good matches and to try and keep a level playing field. And I think it had a lot to do with why Raw was as good as it was this past week. It was just refreshing on so many levels. Anything else to add before we wrap up this show, Jake?
Well, I mean, it really didn't hurt that that we had so much wrestling either. I mean,
a bad thing.
Was a very wrestling heavy show and quality wrestling at that. And I think there's probably some lessons there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as critical success goes, especially in wrestling, I think good wrestling, like good actual in-ring wrestling, is a big part of it. But I think we'll get more to that in tomorrow's show, and we will talk to people again tomorrow. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!